Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
In Matthew 7:5, Jesus said, "Take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Does getting the log out of your own eye mean that you have to conquer that sin in your life before confronting someone else? If so, how much progress do you have to make before the log is out? Now, at this point, no doubt some of you are thinking, "Wow, I am never going to open my big mouth again, ever. I am never going to judge anybody. I am never going to evaluate anybody. I am never going to point out a flaw. I'm just going to, I got like a forest of logs in my eye, and I'm just going to shut up for the rest of my life." Actually, Jesus doesn't allow us to do that either. Jesus does not give us the option here of just walking away with an eye full of lumber. Does he? He gives a very clear command in verse 5. Take the log out of your eye. It's not just an issue of shut up and don't judge. It's get the log out of your eye. So Jesus commands us now to perform a logectomy on ourselves. I don't know if you noticed the title, but I figure a tonsillectomy is removal of the tonsils, appendectomy is removal of the appendix. Logectomy, it's a surgical removal of a log out of your eye. So that's what we're told to do here. You see a flaw in your brother, but you have sin in your own life. You don't just say, "Who am I to judge," and take your beam and go home, right? You get that beam out of your eye. But that brings up another question. At what point is the beam out of your eye? How do you know when the logectomy has been successful? How do you know when you're ready to deal with the other guy's sin? How much removal of sin is there to be? Because we all know that we're not perfect, right? You'll never be perfect in any area. There's never a time when you can say, "Okay, now I'm perfect, now I can address my brother's sin." That'll never happen in this life. But is there ever a time in this life when you can say, "Okay, now I have no logs in my eye, and I can see clearly to address my brother's sin"? Is there ever a time you can say that in this life? Answer? Yes. Absolutely yes. Because we know that because Jesus goes on to tell us what to do after we remove the log. So removing the log is possible in this life. You say, "Well, how do I know when the log is gone?" Very simple. I believe it's very simple. Repent. Just repent. As soon as you repent of your sin, the log is gone. You say, "Wait a minute. What if I repent today, but then tomorrow I stumble right back into that same sin again?" You want to hear something great? Unlike a lot of people, maybe unlike you, Jesus does not require tomorrow's victory today. Nor does he hold you responsible for tomorrow's failure today. Is that great news? All he requires of you today is that you do what can be done right now to battle against this sin. And what you can do right now is repent. Repent. Repentance is when you grieve over your sin and you decide you're going to turn your back on that and turn back towards God. It's always a turning away from sin toward God. That's repentance. And when you repented, when you've done that, you have removed the log from your eye. Have you completely won the battle against that sin? No. Are you perfect now in that area? No. But you have repented, and so now the log is gone. And I'm not trying to make it sound like repentance is just some real easy, simplistic thing. You just make a decision. Having something in your eye means that you are traveling on a road away from God. That's what sin is. And repenting means exiting off that highway and getting on a highway, the highway that goes towards God, God's way. And that can be quite an ordeal. Changing highways isn't just a simplistic, easy thing. We know that. It might require that you embark on an in-depth study of God's Word, what God's Word says about how to deal with this particular sin. Maybe you're going to go and you find some really good book on this subject, how to fight this thing. Maybe you're going to start listening to some sermons on the subject, seeking wise counsel. You're making yourself accountable, slamming the door on access to this sin in the future so that you cut off those things, minimizing future temptations. All those kinds of things are really stones in the pavement of the highway of repentance. And so it can be very involved. The point is, though, that you're not in a position to help someone else get on that highway if you're not even willing to get on it. If you haven't gotten on it, then you can't help someone, you can't tell someone else to get on it. I don't think getting the log out of your eye means you have to have made a certain amount of progress down that highway. You have to travel on it for 3 months or something like that. It just means you're on it. And I think you can always get on it today. You can always get on the road of repentance today. So, for example, suppose your struggle is with drunkenness. What can be done about that today? Well, you dump all the alcohol out that you have in your house. You could call someone in your prayer group and start up an accountability relationship and confess that sin to them. You could begin maybe memorizing some passages of Scripture that would be especially helpful in fighting the temptation in the future. You could just start in on all those steps today. But what you can't do today is be sober for 6 months or 6 weeks or 6 days. All you can do today is be sober from now until bedtime, right? And take whatever steps you can take to strengthen yourself for tomorrow. That's when you've done that, you've gotten on the highway and the log is out of your eye. So we can say that there's only one sin, really, that constitutes a log in your eye, and that is the sin of unrepentance. If you don't have the sin of unrepentance, then you don't have a log. Okay? And we can also say this, if your brother doesn't have the sin of unrepentance, he doesn't have a speck. You understand that? If there's some sin in his life that he falls to over and over and over and he keeps on falling to that sin, if he is repentant and if he's doing what he can do to fight against that sin, then there is nothing there for you to rebuke. There's no speck in his eye. You can offer your assistance in helping him. Would you like my help in overcoming this thing? Can I fight alongside you? But the only kind of sinner that needs to be confronted with a sin is the unrepentant sinner. So here's the bottom line of all that. Jesus, I don't think, is saying, go work on your log for 6 months, then come back and help your brother. Logectomies can always be performed today. Right now. Do it now. Now, I think there's sometimes some wisdom in taking a little time to communicate your repentance to your brother. You know, if you're having a dispute with him, you're in a fight with him, he thinks you're in sin, you think he's in sin, and you say, okay, I gotta acknowledge the log in my own eye. Okay, I've done that. Now I'm going after him. Maybe you should take a minute and communicate that repentance to him first, right? But you don't have to wait until you have had long-term victory. So picture a guy who struggles with some sin. Say it's swearing. He just, his mouth. He can't control his tongue and he's got dirty language all the time. And he knows God's word prohibits all unwholesome talk, all profanity, all obscenity. And he's determined to clean up his language, but time after time just stumbles. And when he does, he repents, and he's doing everything he knows to do to work on changing the sins in his heart that are causing that kind of language to come out of his mouth. And he's dealing with all that. But still, for now, he's just stumbled so many times, so often. And this guy has a coworker who also has kind of a dirty mouth, but not nearly as much. The coworker, once in a great while, something will slip out. But the coworker, even though he doesn't do it very often, he's not repentant. He's not repentant. So the first guy, swearing 10 times a week. Second guy, once a month. Should the first guy rebuke the second guy? The guy that does it 10 times a week, should he rebuke the guy that only does it once a month? Answer, absolutely he should. Even though the first guy falls a lot more often, He doesn't have anything in his eye. He doesn't have a log in his eye. He doesn't have a speck in his eye. He has nothing in his eye because he's repentant. He's fighting against that sin. But the other guy does indeed have something in his eye because he's not repented. That second guy is in much, much worse condition spiritually in that area because any unrepentant sin is worse than any repentant sin. It is worse to gossip and refuse to repent than it is to murder and repent. He said, but I say, if I do it 10 times a week and he does it once a month, he's going to think I'm a hypocrite if I come to him. Not if you come to him and call him to get on the same road you are. Say, I sin in this area. It's wicked. It's vile. Because God's word condemns it. And so here's what I'm doing. I'm repenting of this. Join me on this road of repentance. That's not hypocrisy.
The application for today's lesson is obvious. Do you have any logs in your eye? Do you have any logectomies you need to perform on yourself? The answer isn't always as obvious as you might think. It can be hard to spot some sins in your heart. That's why even a guy like David had to pray, "Search me, O God. Test me and see if there's any wicked way in me." And as you cooperate with God in this process of searching your heart, one place to start might be in the very areas that bother you so much in the person you're at odds with. The sin you hate so much in them, very often it arises in you. It seems counterintuitive. You'd think the sins that we hate in others would be the last ones we would commit. But it happens all the time. Maybe one reason is that sin is contagious. We're influenced by the people around us, even our enemies. Someone speaks to you in a hurtful way, and somehow it seems like now you have the green light to talk to them that way, too. But you don't see it as a sin in your heart because the other person did it first. So maybe that's a good place to start in searching your heart for hidden, unrepentant sins. What are the sins that bother you most in the people you're in conflict with? And when you find the sins in your heart, you know what to do. Repent and seek hard after God.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.